Super Talk Mississippi Media Production. You're listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi, covering Mississippi State sports like nobody else. With Sports Talk Mississippi's Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk of On3 Sports. Now get ready for Thunder and Lightning.
This is Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi. Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk here with you on a Friday morning. Thanks for joining us and starting your weekend with us here at supertalk.fm. or wherever it is that you get podcasts from. We appreciate you guys out there, our great listeners, especially our servicemen and women out there taking care of us. We want to thank our sponsors over at Strange Brew Coffee House and Churn and Spoon Ice Cream. Start your day the right way with a trip to the drive-thru over at Strange Brew Coffee House here in Starkville, or at Brupolo over in Tupelo. It'd be a little weird, Robbie, if Brupolo was in Errata.
That would be a little weird. There's no way you pronounce that correctly.
E-R-R-A-T-A. That's got to be Errata.
I mean, I'm just saying.
Errata.
We've been through this before.
Yeah, you're not wrong.
The state of Mississippi.
Well, this is not the state of Mississippi. This is Free State of Jones right here.
Well, there you go.
So we'll see. I'm sure somebody will let me know.
We will have to check in with our resident Jones native, Mr. Nathan Taylor.
He'll let us know.
Yes, he will.
He's probably been through Errata or Errata or whatever it is. Wherever you are in our great state, you can enjoy Strange Brew Coffee each and every morning. It's only a click away at strangebrewcoffeehouse.com. The Mississippi Beef Council wants to remind you that beef, it is what's for dinner. It is a fantastic weekend for tailgating, for being at the house for a cookout for college football. Take advantage of it and make sure that beef is the star of the show. If you're friends with me and Robbie on Facebook, we should somehow get this to Twitter so a wider audience can see it. But a week ago today, he and I were at the Mississippi, I forget the exact name of the building, but the meat science department. And we got to meet, no pun intended, with some great folks over there and got to watch a cow get processed in an hour. And I got to see all the cuts, the ribeyes, the strips, the fillets, but all the secret cuts too, you know, the flat iron and the strip steak and the tri-tip and all that good stuff. It was a really cool process, but it made me realize, you know, I already knew that beef was such a versatile, awesome ingredient, but there really is so much you can do with it. So this weekend when you're cooking out, make beef the star of the show. Beef, it's what's for dinner, thanks to our friends at the Mississippi Beef Council. College Corner, collegecornerstore.com is the place to find the maroon and white merchandise that you are looking for. And I know that you are looking for it. Probably too late to get it shipped, but you can always stop by College Corner on your way up to Starkville if you're in the Jackson area to pick up your new white Mississippi State polo for this weekend's whiteout. Two locations in the Jackson area, Ridgeland by Fleet Feet, Flowood by the Half Shell, or you can shop online at collegecorner.com. Restaurant Tyler, Starkville's flagship restaurant for lunch, dinner, or Sunday brunch. The best meal in town is always at Restaurant Tyler. If you're going to be in Starkville early on Friday, a lunch at Restaurant Tyler is the perfect start to a game weekend here in the Golden Triangle. Any chance you get this weekend, any day, to go to Restaurant Tyler, you don't need a special occasion to go to Restaurant Tyler. Going to Restaurant Tyler is a special occasion. That's how I like to look at things. If you want to enjoy a fantastic meal this weekend, I'll tell you where to do it. Go to Restaurant Tyler. Priority One Bank, 16 locations to serve you throughout Central Mississippi. Let PriorityOneBank.com be your guide and show you not only they're going to help you invest and manage your money, but how they're going to help you prepare for the future. Now more than ever, when you have questions about your money and need answers, you need to talk to the good folks at a place like Priority One Bank who know you and have a relationship with you, not just your money. Let Priority One Bank make you their priority. It's Friday of the biggest game weekend in many, many years here at Mississippi State. And a massive, massive showdown between Mississippi State and Tennessee is forthcoming. A little later in the show, Dave Neal is going to join us. He's on the call this weekend for ESPN, for the SEC Network. For Mississippi State, Tennessee. Good conversation about, you know, what he thinks about this game, but also some fun thoughts of some of the past great Bulldog moments he's been on the mic for. But Robbie, let's start with us, and we've been talking about it all week. We've gone pretty deep into it. We'll start where I've been doing this these past few weeks. What haven't we mentioned? What is the thing about this game? What's the angle we haven't talked enough about, in your opinion?
I mean, I think that we've pretty much covered everything. One of the biggest things that is kind of an intangible in this game that I'm fascinated to see that I think we spoke about really on Monday probably was how Tennessee reacts to the crowd. Because I think there is something to the fact that they have not played a true road game at this point. The neutral site game was essentially a home game for them against Syracuse. And then the other games are overwhelming, orange crowds. How do they react to that? How does Joey Aguilar react to that? Is he able to kind of look it in the face, stare it down, and go win the ball game, go make big plays? Or does it rattle him? We've seen a little bit of both. We've seen players feed off of that. We've seen guys crumble. I thought Sam Levitt was crumbling against it in the first half in the Arizona State game. I never thought he really settled in.
No,
I
it was a
thought
running game, yeah.
the running game really kind of took over. They kind of took the ball out of his hands. He never really settled in. But this is a completely different quarterback from a skill set standpoint. He's going to want to take some deep shots. He's been extremely accurate. He's hit some big shots down the field. He's handled the situation fairly well. But he has in his past, he has the ability to turn the football over, and he's thrown some interceptions this year. How does this crowd affect him? That is a big, big question for me. If we see him come out in the first half, he's throwing darts and he's silencing the crowd early, that's bad news for Mississippi State, I think. I think they need to get in his head early. They need to limit the run because that, to me, is a big part of this ball game is setting the line of scrimmage on both sides of the ball. If State is able to limit what they do running, and if they're able to, on the offensive side, they're able to run the football and they're able to protect Blake Chapin, they're going to be in really good shape. But that's kind of, to me, the biggest intangibles of this game, the line of scrimmage, rattling Joey Aguilar, the crowd playing a factor. Those appear to be, to me, the biggest parts of this game. And for Mississippi State being able to hit big plays against the secondary, giving Blake Chapin time, which kind of goes into the line. Part of things.
The thing I think we haven't talked about is the wide receiver talent on the field here in this game. And I think this is going to be a haymaker game. I think you're going to see some big plays from both sides, and it's going to be who can knock the other one out. We know about Brennan Thompson and Anthony Evans here from Mississippi State. But Chris Brazel, last year was not great at Tennessee, and this year has turned into one of the top receivers in the SEC. But also Mike Matthews, I think that's a former five-star. And he's playing at a pretty high level right now. Braylon Staley's playing at a pretty high level. They've got this is going to be a game where if the quarterbacks are given time to throw, we could see a lot of chunk plays. I mean, that's no surprise, right? Both of these guys, Heupel and Lebby, that's what their offense is built around. These big vertical plays that come as a result because you're loading up the box and you get some one-on-one matchups on the outside. So it may just be who can sustain the haymakers. Could be, I could see very early. Couldn't you see this be one of those games where it's like State gets the ball, second play from scrimmage, Chapin goes deep, he hits Thompson, 60-yard touchdown, 7-0. Tennessee comes back, their second play from scrimmage, Aguilar goes deep, he hits Brazel, 60-yard touchdown, and 7-7. We're just kind of off and running. I could see that happening in the first quarter.
Yeah, it could. It needs to play out similarly to how it did in Arizona State, with the exception of State's going to need to close the first half strong. State needs to get a lead and kind of build on it and shell shock Tennessee, I think. I really feel like, a stop on the first possession and a score on the first possession is what desperately needs to happen for Mississippi State, whether they kick the ball or receive it. And that's kind of, I think, the goal for this team every week is the goal for every team, but for this week, for this team especially, and how Jeff Lebby likes to run things, they script out that first possession extremely well. We saw it when he was at Ole Miss. Ole Miss has continued it with Lane Kiffin, and Jeff Lebby, where he's been, has been a guy that scripts it really well in the first possession. Getting off to a fast start is big for anybody, and especially big for Mississippi State. And when you're playing in this home environment, we talked about it yesterday. Keeping the crowd energized, keeping the crowd on top of Tennessee all game long, And to do that, you get off to a great start. That's what happened against Arizona State. That is the script for Mississippi State in this ball game, is score and a stop. And you do that, I feel like you're off and running. But you've got to lay a haymaker early on in this ball game. I think you've got to punch Tennessee in the mouth, let them taste their own blood, let them realize this is not Neyland Stadium. And from there, we'll see what happens. I think they could easily settle in just like Arizona State and get back in the ball game and whatever. But Mississippi State's best chances of winning this game is getting a lead early and not playing from behind, because this is an offense at Tennessee. When they are in their groove, it's going to be tough to stop. So State's going to have to trade blows with them, or they're going to have to get out to a lead and feel comfortable and push their backs against the wall. I don't think this State team is built defensively to be able to come back in the game and string together a lot of stops against
Yeah.
an offense like this.
I'm just laughing at the idea of Heupel. Nobody makes me bleed my own blood.
The floor.
Crazy. I can say that, isn't it?
And it the one good thing I'll say about this is this offense is pretty close to a mirror image of what Mississippi State runs. I would say that this group is probably more talented from Tennessee, and obviously being in the system now for 4 years, 4 or 5 years, whatever it is, with Josh Heupel, they're ahead of Mississippi State in a big way on the offensive side of the ball. But it's the same scheme essentially. They're running a lot of the same concepts. There might be a few things that are different between the two teams, but for the most part, it's pretty much the same scheme. They know each other well. This defense has played against this scheme all season long and all offseason.
Yeah.
So they're not going to be catching Mississippi State off guard and vice versa.
I'm fascinated by like that chess match of, it feels like formations will be familiar, right? So they come State comes out in a certain formation, Tennessee thinks, okay, they're gonna be doing this. Does Lebby out of that formation do something that he doesn't normally do to try to catch them off? And then Heupel can do the same thing. When you have two coaches that know each other so well, it's gonna be the one who's able to find the thing the other guy doesn't know, it can go a long way in this one.
And two, that's why these two quarterbacks are probably bigger than any other game this year so far. These two quarterbacks making the decisions that they have to make, because this is an RPO-based offense in a lot of ways. They're going to be making a lot of decisions, whether it be pre-snap or within the play. Those guys have got to be on top of their game. Whoever plays the best in this game, again, this is like Captain Obvious stuff, but it really is that simple to me. Like it comes down to quarterback play a lot on the Saturday, and I feel like both of these quarterbacks are so important. And whenever you're running an offense that both defenses are very familiar with, the decisions that they make in this game are going to be vital.
Bigger tests for Mississippi State on the offensive line or the cornerbacks?
I would say probably the offensive line. It's really been the best pass rush in the SEC so far. Oklahoma had, what, 10 sacks last week, I think. So they've kind of pushed ahead of Tennessee in sacks, but Tennessee's right there with them. They've been leading the SEC in sacks. This has been one of the better pass rushing teams. But at the same time, if you can just keep them off for a little bit, there's going to be plays to be made back there, because you can't just lose your best two cornerbacks and expect to just pick up and, I mean, nobody can.
Right.
Alabama can't, Georgia can't. There's going to be some kind of drop off there. It's hard to build depth in this league at this point where you're not going to have any drop off between your top two and your next two. So that to me is where the game's going to be won for Mississippi State, is whether or not they can attack down the field with Brennan and Ant and guys like that and hit some big plays. Because in this offense too, like if you hit big plays in the passing game, it kind of is kind of the reverse of what we think of setting the stage with the running game. The running game can really be opened up from what you do in the passing game. So we might see some big shots early that Tennessee adjusts to, that opens up some plays for Mississippi State to be able to run the football a little bit better. So it might not be a situation where State has to come out, establish the run, draw the defense in, and then hit big plays. I think those big plays could be there early in this game, depending on what kind of defense Tennessee comes out and runs. That's another thing I'll be watching early in the game. Are they going to be trying to prevent those big plays down the field and keeping everything in front of them? If that's the case, you have a three down front, you have a little lighter box, Fluff Bothwell, Devon Booth, Xavier Gayton. It might be heavy rush to draw them in and then hit big plays down the field.
I think they're
It
going the other
really is
way.
going to be a chess match.
I feel like they'll go the other way. I feel like they're going to put pressure on Chapin, and you know, they may be susceptible to the big play if they can hold out against the pass rush, but I think they're coming after him early.
That's what I would do.
That's what I would do. I would
That's what I would
absolutely
do.
do.
I would run my basic defense and I would rely on my pass rush specialists because they have guys that can win one-on-one battles. They don't have to do anything really exotic. I mean, they have guys that are legit enough that can get to the quarterback. Interior, on the outside, linebacker, they can do it. So I think that's probably going to be what Tim Banks runs, but we'll see early on in the game. And they'll probably show some multiple looks too. I think that they will change things up. He's a really good defensive coordinator. The numbers aren't great right now for this defense, but I blame injuries a lot for that. If you have Jermaine McCoy back there, it changes everything for them, and you just don't. So teams have been able to attack him down the field. I think those plays will be there to be made, but can State protect Chapin? That's a big question.
It is. It absolutely is. A lot of questions on both sides of the ball. Tennessee is a much more is a more talented team. There's no question about that. But there's enough questions on the Tennessee side of things that has left a window open here for Mississippi State. All right, let's go to my interview now. This was a really good one. I enjoyed this conversation with a guy that I've been, you know, listening to call football games, you know, most of my life. Dave Neal from the SEC Network joins us. All interviews here on Thunder and Lightning. Brought to you by Alora Modern Wellness. If you hit it a little too hard on a Friday night, maybe hit up Alora Modern Wellness on a Saturday for an IV treatment, for a hydration IV, get you right back into the game. Hey, look, even you college kids out there, I know that, you know, you think you're invulnerable, but it can't hurt to have a little recovery in there. And it's, you know, if you why do just the Gatorade and the frozen pizza when you can have science on your side? If you're not feeling well after a hard night in the Cotton District, a trip to Alora Modern Wellness and an IV treatment there can get you going in the right direction and get you ready for game day. Let's
Did
go
you say science?
science.
Science!
We haven't had to address the science.
I hope to God the science is gone with Brian O'Connor coming in here. Let's just hopefully
Let's not taunt.
Coach Oak has put that to rest.
Don't taunt the science. Don't taunt it.
Don't taunt it. I won't taunt it.
All right, let's go down to my conversation with the SEC Network's Dave Neal. Glad to welcome to the podcast for the first time ever, the legendary. That's a cool name to cool adjective to get to use about somebody. The legendary Dave Neal from ESPN. You got something to say about that? You're not going to argue with that, are you?
Well, I don't know, legendary. How about long time? I probably feel more comfortable with that. But I
We can go
can't
with that.
believe it's, first of all, I can't believe it's the first time I've been on your show, man. This is crazy to me.
Well, I mean, we you know, I saw that you were calling the game this week. I got to tell you a story though, actually. So I work with Richard Cross, who you
Oh,
know
yeah.
from ESPN. I texted him last week. I was like, "Who's calling State Tennessee?" And he sends back Taylor Zarzur, Matt Stinchcomb, and I forget who their sideline person is. So I text Matt, and I'm like, "Hey, I hear you're calling the game. Can you please come on the podcast?" And he just texts back, "Hey, I'd love to, but I'm not calling the game. I'm doing Vanderbilt." And so I just sat back. I was like, this is what I get for trusting an Ole Miss person.
See, that's exactly right. Richard just let you down
Let me
again.
down. But
Again.
he gave me your number, so I guess he made up for it in some way.
Yeah, man. I'm excited to go back-to-back weeks.
Well, this is what I want to start with before we get into this game. You've been on the call for a lot of big Mississippi State moments through the years. Off the top of my head, I remember the 99 game against Auburn, that crazy comeback out there. You'd had the 07 games with Alabama and Ole Miss, a couple of crazy comebacks there. You had the 09 Egg Bowl, which was a really fun one. And from a baseball perspective, you had Elijah McNamee's home run down at Florida State, which is one of the all-time moments in MSU baseball. Did I leave anything out? Is there a Mississippi State moment that stands out for you?
Yeah, let me tell you why. And go back to 1998, the first game that I ever broadcast for Jefferson Pilot Sports. was a doubleheader. They did it twice during the year. They would split the audience in half. Well, half the audience would get one game, half the audience would get the other game. Well, I was working at Fox Sports South at the time, and they had a doubleheader split telecast. And so they said, "Hey, you want to do this game?" And in 1998, it was Alabama at Mississippi State. And it was the first time Alabama or Mississippi State had beaten Alabama in a long time. I can't remember. And gosh, I'm drawing a blank. I wish I had 5 minutes
J.J.
ago.
Johnson.
Yes, went crazy. I think he had like 200 yards
He
rushing
did.
or something like
Yes.
that. And it was my first taste of like SEC football, and I grew
That's
up
cool.
around it. You know what I mean? So, but to call a game like that and to have the upset, that was my first foray into Jefferson Pilot Sports. In the 1999, I took over the job. But yeah, that one, and I can't forget the big hit, Mac. You talk about the one in Tallahassee when they beat Stanford.
That's right. You were on the call for that too. Yeah.
And just an unbelievable, sick, crazy environment. I
Yeah.
mean, just nuts.
That was
So
one of those where you did a good job of letting it breathe. Like, what, as soon as he hit
oh.
it, it was gone. And you were like, you let the crowd have that moment, and it's fun. It's a lot of
You,
fun.
that is, I have to work. I work with some relatively new announcers and stuff,
Yeah.
analysts at times, and I have to like put my
Let it
arms
breathe.
out and say, "Man, this is not about us. This isn't a, you know." I never feel that way, by the way. First of all, that's one of the things that I like. I don't want people to even know who's calling the game. I mean, seriously, I just want to give you the information that's pertinent to the game. Let my analysts break it down. I don't need to be the star of the game. I don't need to be that guy.
Yeah.
So in those moments, man, my arms are up, telling everybody in the booth, stop.
You have
Enjoy.
another one too. You have one more moment that it's at Mississippi State, but it's not Mississippi State. It's Nico Cavadas's home run in
Oh
the
my
Super
gosh.
Regional. Like this, I know your call. It's just you just go, oh. Like that's
Yeah.
because
It
that ball
went 500 feet. It
is
was
still
power
going.
on power. It was who
Landon
was,
Sims.
yeah, throwing 100, and this guy took his biggest swing he could ever take, and bat met ball, and
Yeah.
away it went.
That is one of the two longest home runs I've ever seen at Dudy Noble to this day
Yeah.
from an opposing player. So, all right, let's jump into this game. You got to see Mississippi State last week for the Northern Illinois game. Obviously, they're a much improved football team from where they were a season ago when they went 2-10. What stood out to you? Where are they most improved in your eyes?
Speed I across, you know, from the offensive side. You know, I mean, we're talking about Brendan Thompson a lot going into that game about how fast he is, but watching Anthony Evans run his routes, I mean, he is really good. I thought Jordan Mosley finally showed a little bit. And the other thing that I felt like the offensive line has made significant improvements. While they are not flawless by any stretch of the imagination, they don't have to be great with fluff in the backfield, but they have to be good. And I think they've done enough there. And I think the run game, the addition of that, has really stood out to me. And I cannot not talk about the defensive side of the ball. I had Mississippi State 2 or 3 times last year. And if they didn't score 50, they weren't going to win. What a transformation. Obviously, it's the day we live in with college football. You can make those adjustments and quickly change your roster. But I just think they're playing fast, they're playing free. Things will change in the next 2 months. We'll find out how good they really are. But to me, watching them, it's not even the same look defensively that we saw a year ago. And that just the whole as a whole, that defense is just it gives you a chance now. You have a fighting chance.
You mentioned Thompson and Evans, and then on the other side of the ball with Tennessee, with Brazel, Matthews, and Staley, I feel like we're going to see a lot of big plays in this game, in the passing game. You've got a lot of speed and a lot of talent at that wide receiver position. Whose secondary do you like better in this matchup? Because somebody in that group is going to have to make a play.
Well, I will say this. Tennessee is not as good as they were hoping they would be. Now, they have certainly Gerard McCoy is one of the best coming into the season. People thought he was one of the elite NFL type dudes. Ricky Gibson's a guy that they lost. McCoy will be back at some point this week. Don't think that's the case, but they've gotten Colton Hood, a transfer from Colorado, who came in and has been he has maybe saved that secondary, his ability to cover. They can leave him over there isolated on the best receiver on the other team. But they got Ty Redmond, a freshman, man. And you know this, that Jeff Lebby's going to go that route. Prove me wrong is what he's going to say. Tell me you can cover our stuff. I would watch the first quarter heavily if a Mississippi State fan and see what they try to do with Ty Redmond. On the flip side of that, this is why I think Mississippi State probably has that advantage. And I'm not just talking about the corners, but with Kelly Jones and Diego Brumfield, throwing Isaac Smith on that back end. And I know he's not a big cover guy. He's more of a swing type dudes.
First career pick last week.
Right. Good for him. It was a nice pick. Good job for him. But I just think that right now in that back end, if you're talking about just corners, I got to lean toward Mississippi State right now. We'll see. I mean, obviously, there's going to be so many balls. I mean, there's going to be 100 passes thrown in this game, I think,
Probably, yeah.
close to it.
And that goes to what I've been kind of harping on the podcast and on radio this week is that I don't know if I'm putting too much pressure on him, but I feel like Blake Chapin is going to have to carry Mississippi State a little bit in this game. He's got to be better than Aguilar is for
He's got to be
Mississippi.
better than he was last week, too, Brian.
Yeah, for sure.
I mean, that was not his. That first half was, I like literally, I got the stat sheet and I'm watching the game and I look at it and I forget what it was, 56 yards passing or something like that. You can't win like that. Well, luckily, they were playing a team that, was pretty good defensively. I don't want to overstate. I mean, they're not SEC defense, but they're pretty good.
And that's the thing I took away from the game as the biggest positives, that State played a C-plus game at best and won by 28. A year ago, they played that game, and it's like when they played Toledo. They would have lost by two or three touchdowns.
Yeah, it's a different mindset, and it's a different team. And I think that those experiences for those that were around last year, and Blake Chapin had to, deal with some of that early in the season. He knows, even when you're not having your best game, you still got to find a way to make a play or two. And they did in the second half to kind of give him some breathing room. And we got to see Kamario play a little bit, which is always fun. I mean, that dude, when he comes on the field, geez
We'll
Louise,
talk
man.
about him a lot more next year, I think.
Yes, I know. He came out there. Remember the first carry last week? They just ran. It was fourth down. They brought him in or something, and they just ran him off tackle, and he just blew up the dude that met him in the hole. I'm like, okay, here we go.
There's a lot of that's been a debate we've been having down here in Starkville of there's no need to redshirt him, basically. Just he can be your short yardage guy. You can use him the way, it's a big comparison, but you can use him the way Florida did Tebow. His first year. Just let him run those quarterback powers, and
Yeah.
eventually some pass will be open if you ever want to throw it. But that's a debate we were having here. Like, I don't think State's going to redshirt him at this point.
No, and we talked to Coach Levy about it last week when we were there about what are the plans and how do you want to use him? And he was like, look, man, I know everybody thinks he's coming to the game, he's running the football. We've got stuff we work with him every week on in the pass game, off that stuff. And I wouldn't be surprised to see some of that stuff this week to where maybe he pulls it in an RPO game and actually tries to hit something downfield. He obviously can sling it. And so if you just put him in those situations, why not give this a shot? Yeah, obviously Blake Chapin is the dude. And back to your original thought, I agree with you with Blake. Blake is a really good story. He's a great kid. He's easy to root for. But this is a game that he's going to have to make some. I mean, there's going to be times in this game where he's got to be the dude. You want to be the dude? Go be the dude.
And with Aguilar, I look back, last year Clemson played App State. And I'm sure that was a tough environment to go into Death Valley, but it's not a conference game. It's not, the Clemson fans weren't looking at that as if Florida State or Miami were there. This atmosphere is going to be interesting. If you watch the Arizona State game, they rattled Sam Levitt here in Starkville. The cowbells, the crowd, it's going to be a sellout. It's Tennessee, who hasn't played a true road game this year. They played a neutral site game in front of it was a Tennessee crowd at that one. Is Tennessee ready for this environment that they're going to walk into?
Well, I know this, man, and every coach talks about it, that they do all they can to prepare and practice, turn up the volume. I remember Coach Hammack from Northern Illinois last week telling us that it got to the point that he just shut it down. He couldn't listen to the cowbell noise and speakers. And he goes, I know we're trying to prepare, but I can't deal with this anymore. He even said that. So they all do it. They all try to do it. But honestly, until you get in this environment, I don't think that any of that stuff can match what you get on game day. And you talk about speed of the game. Coach, you talk about that too all the time, matching up with Tennessee or Mississippi State and how fast the game is. You can't duplicate that if you don't have it in your own offense. Both these teams work against these fast offenses all the time. It is a rarity that these teams will actually come in prepared and know what to expect from the opening kickoff in terms of how the game's going to go. So I think that the cowbells will be an issue early, but I think once the game gets flowing, I think Tennessee's been in enough environments. A lot of these kids, and you mentioned, Joey Aguilar going to Clemson, and it's not the same, but he's been in these stages before.
Yeah.
And I will say this too, Ryan, as just a fan of college football, is there a better story right now than Joey Aguilar?
It's a good one. I mean, I think the Tennessee story is a good one. Because they kind of looked the transfer portal and NIL in the face and said, this is the line. We're not going to go past this line with Nico. And whatever happens, happens. And now they're right back winning games. And on the other side of that, Nico is in flux over at UCLA. I think Tennessee is an outstanding story. I think Mississippi State is a good story
Yeah.
because, I don't think a lot of people had them 4-0. But I asked Lebby about this at Media Days, and you can't, Lebby is one game at a time master. I don't think he sees a day ahead of time, never mind a
Yeah.
week. And I said, but there's this scenario, Jeff, where, you're 4-0 because you got four non-conference games. You could win those, and then you have this moment, and now we're here. So there's a lot of good storylines coming out of this weekend for me. You mentioned, Lebby and Heupel obviously work together. They have a great relationship. I would say that they're very friendly. Is there any kind of, in your experience, when coaches have worked together, does anybody ever have an advantage there? Or does it just all cancel itself out?
I do. In this situation, I do think it's a cancel out situation. They know each other's stuff so well. You're not going to be really, surprised by any of this stuff. I will say though that the transformation in defense, and this is where I think Coach Lebby just really in the offseason hit home runs, going out and getting Paul Rhodes, Mike McIntyre, these guys are really good football minds, and so they can maybe see something and how to defend, how to prepare for things like this Tennessee offense that maybe some others won't. I just think having minds like that in a room is invaluable. Now, obviously, players got to go execute these plans and these sequences, if you will. But to me, that is a difference maker when you can go out. Look what Clark Lee did at Vanderbilt last year. Went out and got a couple of super, super, just high-level coaches to come in and help transform, see some things, transform kind of your ideology a little bit, if you will. You run what you want to run, but we're going to do this with it. We're going to help you out. Those guys, I think, under the radar, they're what are they called? Defensive analysts, senior
Analysts,
defense.
yes.
Right. I mean, I don't know what are we doing? I mean,
Yeah.
I get that, we still have a DC, but
But
it's a group effort. And to me, that's a big plus for Mississippi State this week, is that maybe there's something they can do to maybe slow this down a little bit more that they maybe didn't last year outside of personnel.
you've been in the game a long time. Do you remember a college football weekend like this where it's just so many big time games and a lot of them happening at the same time? I mean, I don't know how you're going to be, calling Mississippi State's game. I know you're going to have an eye on Ole Miss, LSU, and Texas A&M Auburn at the same time.
Well,
I
I mean,
don't
I'm just saying if there's technologies available, I mean, I do. I have extra monitors in the booth,
Yeah.
and one of them will probably be on one of those games just so I can keep an eye on it. And I'll have my iPad there, and I'll have a computer. I'll be, you got to pay attention. Everybody else is paying attention. And my focus will be on our game, obviously. But during commercial breaks, you want to get an update, see what's going on. Dari in the studio.
Yeah.
We'll be spinning around. Listen, if you're at home this weekend at the 3:30 window, 3 o'clock window, I mean, you've got an SEC fan. I don't know that it's a better day at 3 o'clock
It's
than
incredible.
Saturday.
Yeah.
I mean, seriously, it is nuts. Every time there's a commercial break, you can just hear the clickers turn
Yeah.
to the next game.
Well, I've got the quad box. If I was at home, I'd be in good shape, but
I
I'll
mean,
be
yeah, we
doing
can't
the same
overlook the
thing.
Oregon matchup this week. I mean, you know what I mean? It's not just about us. I mean, there's some monumental games this
Yeah.
weekend. And here's the other thing. I'm just glad I get to be a part of it.
There
I
you
mean,
go.
that's ultimately it is. I get to go to a place going to be packed, sold out, loud, crazy, SEC meaningful game. I mean, this is why I've been doing this for long, just for weekends like this. I mean, it's just it's I'm truly thankful for it.
Well, we're thankful that you came on the podcast with us, Dave Neal. We always appreciate hearing from you. Looking forward to seeing you in the press box on Saturday at Davis Wade Stadium.
You got it. Hey, let's not make this just a one-time thing, all right?
You got it. You'll be back. We'll have
All
you on.
right.
Thank you.
Bye, buddy.
Thanks so much to Dave Neal. We will definitely be having him back on the podcast, especially as we go through baseball season with him. All right, let's move into our playmakers and predictions. That's brought to you by our friends over at Two Brothers Smoke Meats in the heart of the Kai District and the Older Brother. Two fantastic places to grab lunch or dinner in Starkville. What can we say about Two Brothers at this point that we haven't already said? It's got a great menu. It's got a little something for everybody. It's not just barbecue. The food is fantastic. The people there are super nice. There's plenty of TVs in there to watch college football. I can't do any more for you at that point. If you hear all of that and you're like, I don't know, maybe you just weren't cut out to enjoy Two Brothers. And that's on you. I can't do any more for you. For the rest of us normal folks, we're going to head over to Two Brothers this weekend and enjoy some fantastic food and some great scenes in the Cotton District. Great products, great service. Every business likes to promise it to you. They deliver it to you at Advantage Business Systems. That's what they've been doing for 50 years.
50, brother.
You need technology for your business? Give Advantage Business Systems a call. And then if you need service, I can give you that guarantee that the people at Advantage Business Systems not only are going to be able to help you in a much quicker fashion than any big box retailer is going to be able to. I can promise you that a lot of times it's going to be the same day. Why? Because they're in Mississippi just like you. And that's the difference between being a neighbor and being a number. 601-362-9192 or visit them online, absms.com. Find out how Advantage Business Systems will help your business do business. If you're going to be in Starkville this weekend, you need to make a trip to Maroon & Co. Maybe you don't have a new white shirt to wear. I can get you one at Maroon & Co. Or, you know, if you're just at the tailgate and you spill a little barbecue sauce on it, get out of there, head over to Maroon & Co. and get you a nice clean one. Don't be the guy with the barbecue sauce stain on your shirt. Whatever you're looking for.
Don't be Brian.
Man, I am the worst about eating. Like this shirt I'm wearing right now, my white shirt, I'm going to go home and eat lunch after this. I will take this shirt off to eat.
It's gotten better.
It has got, well, it's part of it is because I got, there's more room to drop. Now.
It just drops all the way
it just
down.
Drops all the way down.
So, it didn't get caught right here.
It used to be like, I had to sit back from the table if I was going to avoid that. Anyway, Maroon & Co., use our promo code THUNDER15 to save 15% off regular price. Before you go to Davis Wade Stadium this Saturday, make sure you go to Maroon & Co. I'm sure our remote at Scruggs was awesome. It's good stuff. So if you are looking for that, you can always go back and listen to it on the Sports Talk Mississippi podcast feed, except on Spotify for some reason. I don't know why Sports Talk Mississippi is not on Spotify, but it isn't. It isn't. So can't do anything about that. That being said, if you're looking to upgrade your lawn game at Scruggs, how about 0% financing for the next 24 months on commercial mowers? 2.5% for 48 months on Gators? 0% for 72 months on all compact tractors for most of the 1 through 5 series. Guys, they've got it for you at Scruggs Farm Lawn and Garden. It doesn't matter if you got a small lawn or a big Robbie Falk size lawn. It doesn't matter. John Deere is what you want to be using to keep it looking its best, and you can get those at Scruggs. Scruggs has what you want for less in Saltillo, Mississippi. Robbie Falk, who is your offensive playmaker?
It's pretty easy for me. It's Blake Shapen.
Yeah.
I think we could talk about the offensive line, how important they are, and they certainly are. But at the end of the day, it's going to be up to Shapen making the plays, making the smart plays, being smart with the football, throwing it away, not holding on to it too long, just having a really solid game. He did not have a good game last week, and that's been kind of a point of emphasis for him this week. He went home, he watched the film, came up to the complex on Monday, and they talked about some of the things. He said that, you know, that's kind of his routine. He watches film on his own. He comes back to see if he has some of the same concerns that the coaching staff did. I think he's probably learned from last week. I think he has a good game on Saturday afternoon. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if he plays a really good game, State's going to be in the mix. They're going to have a chance. I don't know if they win it, but I like their chances if he has a really, really good ball game. And it's hard to imagine him having a game like he had last week. So I'm going with Shapen.
Shapen is the correct answer here. If Mississippi State's going to win, Blake Shapen has to outplay Joey Aguilar. It's just that simple. There isn't a scenario for me where State can overcome a bad day from Blake Shapen. If Blake Shapen plays poorly, State's going to lose. If Blake Shapen plays well, State can win. I wouldn't go so far as to say State's going to win, but they can win. They cannot win if Shapen doesn't deliver for them in this one. So I mean, I hate to put these numbers up, but he needs to be over 300 yards passing. He needs to, if he throws one interception, he needs to throw at least three touchdowns to go with it, preferably four. He needs to be smart with the way he runs the football, and he needs to limit negative plays. Against this Tennessee defense, I don't think you can eliminate negative plays, but you can limit them. State needs all of those things from Blake Shapen. Defensively, what do you got?
Defensively, I'm going to go Kelly Jones here. He's going to be tested against a really, really good wide receiver. He's already been tested by a really good wide receiver and performed really well. He's been strong so far this season. So has Diego Broomfield. I think you could put him in the mix as well. But this is a big game for him. They're going to try to take some shots down the field and hit some big plays. The difference in the game could be what State does against the run. If they're able to limit the run game, that would be huge. But I think the breaking up big plays and not allowing those big plays down the field is going to be really big for State too. And they have not had a ton of explosive plays against them this year. Knock on wood. This is the first team that can really dictate some big plays down the field. So I think Kelly Jones is going to be important in this ball game to try to get State a win.
I promise I'm not copying you, but I was going to go with Kelly Jones myself because, as I mentioned just a few minutes ago, the big plays in this game are going to be such a big part of who determines the winner. Jones has been playing at an elite level this year, not a good level, not a great level, an elite level. And an interception here, if he's able to lock down these Tennessee receivers, whoever he's matched up with, plays a massive role in State being able to win. And like I said, I want to see if. What he was able to do in the non-conference, can it translate into conference play? Do I expect him to be, graded at what, like a 91 or whatever it is that PFF has got him at? Probably not. But can he be in the 70s and the 80s? That's good enough, I promise you. So Kelly Jones, yeah, that's gonna be what. Here we go with an X factor. We got the same one here. What do you got?
My X factor in this game is Brennan Thompson
Okay.
because I think that he's going to have an edge going up against a backup corner, probably a really talented guy, but with the speed that he has, I think there's going to be plays to be made in the back end of the defense, if especially in one-on-one coverage. So I think Brennan Thompson has another big day, similar to how he did against Arizona State. He rises to the occasion here and comes up with some big plays for Mississippi State down the field.
All right, stay with me here. I'm gonna go with Kamario Taylor. I just feel like State has to be able to move the chains, right? I think third and two and in, we're calling that KT time now. That's what we want. That's what I think has to happen. I just think that in a game like this where you've got a weapon in Kamario Taylor. I mean, if it's third and one, it's going to be really hard for any defense to stop that quarterback power with Kamario back there. And I just feel like there are some key first downs that you can get with him. And I think that you can set up a play. If you run him enough, you can set up maybe a play where he throws the ball down the field and you're going to have a chance at it. We've talked about earlier about doing something that's unexpected. That could be it. Kamario Taylor gives State an edge that Tennessee doesn't have. They don't have a guy like that to put in the backfield and just slam ahead for 2 or 3 yards when they need one. They have good running backs, but they don't have a quarterback like that. Kamario Taylor is my X factor for this one. Prediction time, Robbie. Time to let us know.
You and I both came on here preseason and we said if they're 4-0, we're predicting State to beat Tennessee. And I'm not changing my mind on that. They may lose this ball game, but I truly believe that this team has the ability to win this game. I'm giving them an edge being at home. I think a lot of things have to go right. I don't feel great about this prediction, but there just seems to be a vibe around this team right now that they believe they can come into this ball game. They believe they can go into ball games like this, and no matter the adversity they face, they're going to go win it. And so I have a strange feeling about this team. I'm not ready to predict 8 wins or anything like that, but there's just something about them. Like, I think they're going to jump on a couple of teams in SEC play, 2 or 3 teams in SEC play, and they're going to surprise some people. And so I think this is the first week that they really, really surprise some people. I think they win this ball game. I think they hold Tennessee a little bit under where they've been scoring, but it's still going to be a relatively high scoring game. I'm going to take Mississippi State 35, Tennessee 31.
Are you messing with me right this second? Did you listen to
No.
Thunder Lightning Live last night?
No, did we have the same prediction?
I am a
That's
man of my
unfortunate.
word.
The same score? What?
I am a man of my word, and I gave my word that if Mississippi State played Tennessee and they were 4-0, I would predict Mississippi State to win. I'm not backing off of that pledge. And yes, my prediction for Mississippi State, Tennessee on Thunder Lightning Live last night was Mississippi State 35, Tennessee 31.
How about that?
Is there something?
I do have Thunder Lightning queued up for when I go walking later, but I have not listened to it, I swear.
Can feel it coming in the air tonight.
You know, I've predicted
You
two
got last?
games
Yes.
perfectly correct.
Let's keep the streak
So
alive.
if I get this, that'll be 3 out of 5,
I
and
said
you
all
can
week,
join me.
Robbie, like, let's keep it fun. Let's keep it lighthearted. Let's enjoy this week. If I get this prediction wrong, I don't care. I don't care. I'm not going to, I never stress over my predictions anyway. But this one, I'm just like, whatever happens, happens. But why not? Why not?
You and I, the TNL bros, are positive.
That's right. I don't know if that's a good
I don't
sign.
want to hear anything from anybody about how negative we are. Now, when the game kicks off on Saturday, you and I may both be saying it's going
Tennessee
to
scores in the second play, and I'm just looking at you like, it's over.
ball
Just get
game.
out of here. Ball game. I can't, you know what I can't wait is for the first deep throw that Chapin makes where I say, got him, and it's 5 yards over his head, and you just look at me like I'm an idiot. It's coming. It's coming. All right. Let's make a decision right here and right now. State wins, we record on Saturday. State loses, we record on Sunday.
It depends on the time. I got an early morning on Sunday. I might
It's a
fight through it.
3:15 kick.
I know, but you know me, I have to work after the game. I
I
usually
don't.
work 2 or 3 hours after the
All right,
game.
you just let me know. You let me
We'll
know.
see. We'll
All right, we'll
see.
figure it out. All right, guys, talk to you again this week, later this weekend. Have a great time. If you're coming to Starkville, enjoy yourself, support our local businesses, wear white to the game. Those are my three requests of you. Talk to you then. For Robbie Falk, I'm Brian Haydad. Thanks for listening to Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk, Mississippi.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.